Welcome and thank you for visiting us for today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis. For more information regarding our ministry, please stay tuned until after the following message.
The Lord changed the message, so we're going to go to 1 John chapter 4 today, starting in verse 1. Amen. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word today that it'll bring forth fruit 30, 60, 100-fold in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. I want to start in verse 1, please, this morning. Hallelujah. Beloved, now, he's talking to believers. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, we'll go a little further here as time permits, but where'd they leave from to go out into the world? They left from the supposed church. If they had not have left from the supposed church, then they'd already be in the world. And so many false prophets were produced by a false church, and they went out into the world to deceive many, even the very elect. But what I want to look at this morning, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Everybody say, try the spirits. That means you are to judge. And prophets in the church must judge. Are they not prophets? That isn't a condemning thing. It is a convincing thing. So, every prophet has the gift of discerning the spirits. Every believer has a certain amount of spiritual discernment to know right from wrong. Even good spirits from bad spirits. So what we are to try are three things. We are to discern if the Holy Spirit is in operation. Now, how many discerned that this morning? If you couldn't, then you need to get in the Word and get prayed up, because if without a certain amount of discernment, you will be deceived. Secondly, we are to try human spirits. After all, we are spirit creatures living in the flesh tabernacle. Thirdly, we are to discern demon spirits. Now, the human spirit works through the flesh. Holy Spirit works through flesh. And demons also work through flesh. And so in a very real sense, we're dealing with people skills. We have to discern what spirit's operating through people. What spirit is operating through that person? Is it the human spirit, the Holy Spirit, or a demon spirit? Now, I'm not saying that person is demon-possessed. The Apostle Peter wasn't demon-possessed, but Jesus rebuked the devil through Peter because Peter was yielding to a wrong spirit. So, we're dealing with spirits. We need to be aware of this, everybody. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but what? Principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, so forth and so on. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The way the devil operates is through people. He cannot do whatever he wants because he's an alien in this earth and God will not allow it. However, if he can find a vessel to work through, he will work through a human being to bring about destruction. However, he never wins. The Holy Spirit also works to redeem people to bring about the blessing. Human spirits that are born again are very closely related to the activity of the Holy Spirit. And when that believer is in the Spirit, then one and the same. So we must discern these things. We must understand what Spirit is operating and the motive behind it. Now, a lot of times, people can say one thing to me, but God's telling me something else. I've learned in 40 years to listen to what the Holy Spirit says, not what you say. He never tells me wrong, never make a mistake when I listen to the Holy Spirit. That is discernment. And some have said, well, you know, I feel like that you're scanning me. That's exactly right. At least you got that much sense to understand that. There's not one thing you can do about it. Because the gift always works. And that's the reason some people don't want to get around other individuals, because they feel like that they can see in their soul. That's exactly right. Only as God permits, but the gift always works. Sometimes I wish I couldn't see inside of people or hear what they're thinking. Do you read minds? No, the Holy Spirit knows, though. I don't want to read your mind, because I'd hear a lot of wordy dirds right about now. The Holy Spirit filters that, so I'll be edified. I don't believe every spirit. We must try the spirits if we're going to be overcoming Christians in this walk. Now, verse 2, let me go on. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses... Wait, every spirit? We're thinking this person said Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Savior. Every spirit. It doesn't matter what your flesh verbalizes. The spirit you say it in is what we discern. And why you're saying it. A lot of times it's a cover-up through religion trying to fool me. No, it's not going to work. Who are you talking to? Whoever has ear to hear this morning. I was in Africa several years ago, casting out a demon from this woman. How'd you do that? Discernment of spirits. But I was almost fooled, except you can't fool God when he is manifesting his revelation to you. And this woman fell down on the floor, and I believe fell under the power of God. It's biblical, scriptural. But sometimes Satan mimics and imitates, you see. Well, God knows what spirit's in operation. Amen. And this person began to speak in some type of foreign tongue. And the Africans, their eyes got real big white, you know, like that. Real big. Like they were kind of spooked. And I'm thinking, well, the Bible says that a person not saved can't be filled with the Holy Ghost, so she must be saved and delivered and filled with the Holy Ghost. And so I almost give up on that. The Lord said, nope, that's the wrong tongue. So I turned back around, and sure enough, I said, that's the tongues of the devil. Tell her to shut up. The devil almost deceived me, but not quite. Everybody say, not quite. See, we learn. Wisdom takes years to understand these things. So just because somebody tells you Jesus is Lord doesn't mean that it's so. Or they'll say they're a believer or a Christian doesn't mean that it's so. What spirit are they? You cannot hide from someone that has discernment. What's the motivating factor? Is it a cover-up or is it the truth? You cannot hide from someone that has discerning the spirits in operation. No, it isn't a faith thing. You can't say something and make it happen. You hear me? We cannot create. Only God creates. Man only creates from things that God has already created. Like this pulpit here was made from a tree that God created, but man fashioned it to look like this, but it still came from God's tree. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I don't mean to get cross-raised with anybody in 2017, but I'm not going to bend on some things. Now, discern that spirit. Well, you got a bad spirit. No, this is right and this is wrong, and we need to grow up and deal with things. Know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. That means come through the Virgin Mary. Hello. Amen. And every spirit that confesses not. Every spirit. I want that to sink in today, everybody. We're not talking just human flesh alone. We're talking about what spirit is speaking. The Holy Spirit, which is a prophetic thing. The human spirit. Our demon spirit through a person. Holy Spirit, for the most part, must have vocal cords to work through. Human spirit has vocal cords to work through. Demonic spirits have vocal cords to work through. Like I say this, and I still say it, every one of us, 24/7, yield to one of the three. Now, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Could I have an amen there? If somebody comes knocking on your door, you ask them, did Jesus come in the flesh? Is he the Son of God? Yes or no? Tell me. If they say no, it's Antichrist. Islam is Antichrist. They said Allah has no son. Then they all go into hell. There are cults in our fair country that do not accept Jesus as the Son of God, but they have churches and things and church buildings, I should say. So if they do not accept the fact that God is manifest in the flesh, known as Jesus Christ, they're Antichrist. You're not to fellowship them? Are you listening to me? You're not to run with them, fellowship them? You're not to invite them in to eat? Lest you be partakers in their sins. Is this tough? We got to grow up. You run with wrong spirits, they'll rub off on you. This is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You're of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's within the world. Verse 5. They are of the world, therefore they speak the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. Is anybody receiving what I'm saying this morning? Then you must be of God. If you can't hear it, then you're not of God. It's just plain and simple. He that is not of God hears us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So the spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit. The spirit of error is demonic. If we are of God, every one of us know the difference. Do not ever yield to an evil spirit. Because if you do, they will not quit. And you will find yourself being manipulated and controlled by demonic spirits. And it's downhill from there. Now, behind every doctrine, there is a spirit. I said this to Brother Monty Wednesday night. Behind every doctrine, there is a spirit. I could say behind every teaching, there is a spirit. What is the motivating factor of that teaching? I'm a little tired of the ego trip that some supposed ministers are on. Pride goes before a fall. What spirit is behind their activity? If they knew the pitfalls of a true minister of the gospel, they would run. Maybe I'm a little too blunt at this church, but you need to know how it is. They're not called of God, or they would run. Like one preacher said to me, he said, if you could do anything else but preach, do it. And that's exactly right. Because you don't have a mantle to withstand the onslaught of the enemy. and beget Ishmaels by your own human activities, programs, all out the window. Amen. The modern-day church has produced a bunch of Ishmaels that have caused false prophets to come out of it and go out in the world and deceive many. That's what the Word of God teaches. But that's only one part of the equation. The true church disciples people, and they have the real message to take out to the world. It must be this way, so you will choose. So every doctrine that is taught in the church has a spirit behind it. True doctrine has the Holy Spirit upholding it. Wrong doctrines have evil spirits upholding that. Now, the spirit of Antichrist is not in total opposition to God. It's almost the same, but not quite. And the truth is, without the gift of discerning spirits and spiritual discernment, you cannot distinguish the difference. There are people that talk right, look right, speak in tongues and prophesy and all this stuff, but they're not quite right. Where do you think Satan puts these false prophets? Behind the pulpit. If the devil can get the one behind the pulpit and control that person, he's got the crowd. I don't care what size it is. So that's the reason. Now, how many of you pray for the one behind the pulpit? You know what? If Satan can gain access and control through deception or whatever, then you're next. Now, so we are to try the spirits. How do we do that? How do we try the spirits? How does the gift of discerning the spirits work? How does natural Christian discernment work to enable us to overcome any opposition that we face, meaning bad spirits, our human spirits that are perverted? How do we do that? How do we try them? How many want to know? Anybody? The Word of God. If you know the Word of God, you can discern. If you do not know the Word of God, you cannot discern. So it's imperative that you get the Word in your mind, in your soul. Satan wants to get the church fall by the wayside and wind up in hell. Basically, see, Satan wants to get the church, and he's moved in now to the point in these last days, using the spirit of witchcraft and all these manipulative spirits to control. It's all about control. If he can get the church to leaven up, then when Jesus returns for the rapture, there won't be anybody to rapture. That's the purpose, to destroy what God is doing. Well, I've got news for the devil. There will be a remnant that stands against him. Amen. And there are a few. I told Brother Haskell the other day, we were talking about false prophets, and I made this statement. The ratio is about 450 false prophets to one true one. He thought, where's the scripture? See, where's the scripture? You got it? Elijah. Well, praise God. Now, if we know the Word, we will know what God approves of and what God does not approve of. We cannot come into agreement with what God does not approve of, lest we fall from grace. Is anybody listening to me? If you know the Word, you know what God approves of. But if you don't know the Word, you will not know what God approves of, and you are in danger of being deceived by Antichrist's spirit. Therefore, anything contrary to the Word of God is wrong. Amen. I want to say it again. Anything or anyone that is contrary to God's Word is wrong. That's the spirit of error. And the Antichrist spirit is behind it. You cannot run with those people because they're motivated and controlled by an Antichrist spirit. Now you can witness to them. You can pray that God will save your soul and deliver them, but you cannot run with them. How can two walk together except they'd be agreed? How can light fellowship darkness? So you've got to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Amen. If you don't, your light is liable to turn into darkness. So God has conditions here to maintain and walk in victory. It is imperative that we have discernment. Amen. So anything contrary to God's word is wrong, and there is a wrong spirit in manifestation. The wrong spirit manifests, it seems like love, but actually it's hate. You know, a wrong spirit, when a person is deceived, they do not know they are deceived. That is deception. The Apostle Paul was deceived. He thought he was doing the will of God, doing the work of God, and he was persecuting the church. Can you imagine that? Yet I'm convinced today there are people that are in the supposed kingdom that actually believe that they are doing the work of God, but they are deceived. That is Antichrist spirit. So we've got to deal with this. We've got to go right to the heart of the problem. Is Jesus Savior and Lord or not? Yes or no? Amen. If they say yes, what spirit are they saying it in? You cannot discern flesh to flesh, people. Amen. We are to listen to the Holy Spirit and His insights that are revealed to us about how or what that person is saying and doing. Amen. The motives and all of that must be judged. Now, the purpose that Jesus came was to go to the cross. Any spirit that denies Jesus and His cross is Antichrist. You are not the fellowship of any of them. Amen. Now, we hope that we can pull some of these people out of the fire at the last minute, but it doesn't look good. Because some people want to be deceived. It's a lie. See? Satan calls evil good and good evil. So he reverses this thing, and if he can fool you and lie to you and get you to believe in what he is conveying, then he's got you. Now, the only way we know the difference is the Word of God. Amen. This is so serious, and yet the church takes it so lightly. I wonder if you're not deceived. So it's my job to correct this thing. I ask you to read the red letter of the King James, and you haven't done it yet. Now, what spirit are you operating in? To be a Christian, one must accept Jesus and His atoning work on the cross, or he cannot be saved. I want to make that perfectly clear, as Richard Nixon would say. If a person does not accept Jesus' atoning work on the cross and who he is, he cannot be saved. She cannot be saved. He that comes to God must believe that He is. If a person does not believe that God is, he cannot be saved. Do you understand? If a person does not believe that Jesus still baptized in the Holy Ghost, he cannot be filled. If a person doesn't believe that Jesus is not going to rapture the church very soon, he will not be raptured. Because God will give people exactly what they want. This is a little rough. Well, I can't help it. The shoe fits, wear it today.
I'll be in a different spirit tonight. You see, folks, I joke around quite a bit, but there are times I got to peel your hide. Amen. Well, I don't know why we even come. Well, if you don't come, it's the wrong spirit controlling you. Because it'd be against the will of God. So you don't have any choice. If you want to make it into heaven, you're going to do what God wants. And so am I. There's no option. And that's the way it should be. Rebellion's a sin of witchcraft. My, I'm getting in deeper. Stubbornness is iniquity. Amen. Now, don't think you can get God off your back by coming to church every now and then and throwing in a few dollars. No. He wants you. Well, I want to do it my way. Well, Elvis did it his way. That's enough ranting and raving. Let's go to some scripture this morning before I get stoned. Hebrews 10:26. We'll start reading there today. Wasn't much of an introduction. But it is true. It is true. Oh, boy. If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Boy, you need to underline that in red. The question is what do we want to sin willfully for? Well, there's the wrong spirit motivating. I was talking to a car salesman the other day, and I asked him, I said, are you a believer? He goes, I said, you've answered me already. I walk in down there a few days later, he goes, I said, do you remember me? He goes, oh yeah, you're the pastor. The only one ever witnessed to him. And here was his excuse. Well, I used to go to Assembly of God Church and something happened, you know. Everybody go, aw. Babies. Something happened and, you know, my feelings got hurt. And, you know, I was too pressured, blah, blah, blah. You know, they kept bringing me to account and, you know, and wanting me to be accountable and blah, blah, blah. And I just got, you know, hurt, stabbed in the back and, you know, I don't know if I want to serve God or not. That was his words, his attitude, you know, and everything. And I could see, I can't do anything with this guy. You ever stop to think that things happen that rub you wrong to show you, you need to change? Why is it always somebody else that's wrong and you're not wrong? Well, if such and such would just be more civil, I'd be more civil. If they just, you know, just appreciate how great I am, then, you know. The problem is not high self-esteem. The problem is not low self-esteem, it's high self-esteem. I'll get it right. The world will say, you don't have any self-esteem. We ain't got to work on that. And all the time, your self-esteem is so high you can't even get through that door because your nose is in the air. A lot of people leave a church, nobody sees how great I am, how spiritual I am. There's no such thing as super spirituality. You're either spiritual or you're not. Now you can be more anointed or less anointed. That is conditional sometimes. Let's read verse 27 on down there. But a certain fearful look of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. I'm glad we're in grace. Here it comes now. Of how much sore punishment? In other words, it's worse. Why? We have the word. Suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted his blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. It is not once saved, always saved. Come out of that. That's a wrong spirit working through a wrong doctrine. You cannot accept that. Or this word is wrong. I know the crowd gets small, but folks, it's heaven or hell, and I'm calling God to tell you like it is. Whether you like me or not, it doesn't matter anymore. There are times I don't like me. What am I supposed to stand here and say? Well, now, you know, how much sore punishment, you know, some limp-wristed pansy preacher. Soft-spoken. Never talk about sin and hell and people going the wrong way and false evil demon spirits and, you know. No, that isn't me. Wearing white raiment, soft clothes. I still wear cowboy boots and I can still stomp you know what sometimes. Not always. Like that one movie, you wouldn't want to know me when I'm angry. I don't want to know me either. I might be on that tonight. Anger is a sign that something needs to change. Well, doop-de-doo. Anger is a sign that something needs to change. Yes, I know. Oh, boy. He was sanctified, an unholy thing, and has done despite the Spirit of grace. Oh, man. Vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. All that's talking about the world. Wait. And the Lord shall judge his people. Oh. Folks, it is still a wholeness of hell. Ooh. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. I know if you're rebelling against the will of God, it might be crispy critter time. And you can't get out of it ever. Now back to Hebrews 5:14. All right, praise God. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. You know, if this is too tough to take, then you're babes. Would you please grow up? I remember Sister Myrna Marble years ago at the Lighthouse Church. She's gone now. She was talking to me one time and she goes, I don't understand. Will the church ever grow? She meant spiritually. Well, it's good to have babes in the Lord if they're babes in the Lord. It's a terrible thing to have someone that's been in the way for 30, 40 years and be a baby. What's wrong? You're listening to wrong spirits, and they're holding you out of God's will, and that's why you got the mess. One reason why. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I know there are people in church, they cannot seem to discern right from wrong. It's like it isn't in them to rationalize and make a decision. I mean, people could be spiritual, next thing you know, they're shacked up with somebody, and they don't think it's wrong. Folks, it is wrong. You don't do things God's way, and you're going to have to pay the piper. So, those that are of strong meat follow the things of the Spirit, and they want to do things God's way. Well, the bed is righteous and undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. You cannot change that, and God will not change that. You better hope that judgment's this side of the beam of judgment and not on that side. Then in Acts 13:6, I think we'll quit with this because I just discern that we should. If I give you the rest of this, you won't come back tonight. Maybe not next Sunday either. Maybe not the next. All right. As you go on to Acts 13:6, I remember a preacher. You know, a preacher must preach. Or they're not a preacher. And sometimes there's a prodding and sometimes there's not. It depends upon what spirits are trying to get a hold of you. It isn't about you so much as the spirit that wants to control you. Do you understand that? The preacher must preach against that. You cannot come into what God has. That's the way God operates. Amen. Now, this one preacher was called to revival. He began to preach in this church, and two or three nights goes by. And the last night, the Holy Ghost moved. I used to do revivals. You got to preach about at least three sermons in order to have a breakthrough on the fourth night. Our modern day church, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, that's revival, but we didn't get to the breakthrough. I used to preach 2-week revival. Amen. Every night. But this man got into revival. He was preaching in this church, and the last night the Spirit of God moved. Everybody say the Spirit of God moved. And all of a sudden, this deacon, you know, everybody's a deacon in the Baptist church. Well, whoop-de-doo. We got more deacons than we have people. What's a deacon do? Well, they deek. I don't know what they do. Ministry of Helps, that's what it is. A lot of pastors would be good deacons, but they're not preachers in this McDonough County area right here. They're good old boys, but they're not preachers. They just want to preach so bad. Don't they know it's dead works? Anyway, this deacon jumped up and run from the back of the church crying. And he had a big bunch of money in his hand. And threw it down on the altar and said, "There, preacher, there's your money." Everybody said, "That's revival coming. Revival." Somebody else jumped up and brought some money. Money, money, money. Because you see, the church congregation hated the preacher. That's because he's a preacher. And they said, "Preacher, we're sorry. We wanted to starve you out." And I'm saying, that's revival. Say amen, somebody. If God puts a preacher there, you don't leave when the grass looks greener over there. You don't leave when the wolf comes to kill the sheep. You don't leave when false doctrines and wrong spirits come through the door. You're there through thick and thin because you love the sheep. But sometimes they hate you. I know. You'll get over it. Now, last scripture this morning, Acts 13:6, "And when they had gone through the aisle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus." Now, I like Jesus, I don't like Bar. Get it? Bar-Jesus. Oh, there's spirits in those bars, everybody. It's the wrong spirit. I get tickled at people when they go, somebody's in the hospital. How are they doing? Oh, they're in good spirits. I hope not. If you're talking angels, okay. But that's a general term. They're in good spirits. Oh. What's good? I know what they mean, but our words. 9 verse 7, which was with the deputy of the county, Sergius Plautius. He was related to Glutus Maximus, Aurelius Maximus, Abdominus. If I can make you believe that, we can teach anything and get away with it. He was a prudent man. What's that mean? Well, he was prude. Who called Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Now, that's good. But think about the motive here now. And Elymas, the sorcerer, for so in his name by interpretation withstood them. Now, what spirit's that? Withstanding the preachers. Seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Now, when the Bible talks about the faith, it's talking about Jesus, him being crucified, born of the Virgin Mary, resurrection, ascension, sin of the Holy Spirit, things like that. See? Then Saul. Everybody say, then Saul. Now, there's a man of God. Praise God. Wasn't trying to make a deal. Who is called Paul? Here's a key, filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, give us some preachers. Oh! We've had enough counseling and nobody being changed. Which reminds me of the Kenyan trip we had in Eldoret, Kenya. What are you supposed to tell him when they're throwing him on the stage under demon oppression? You need counseling, sir. Won't work. And so, Paul said, now I don't want to make trouble. Verse 10, he said, no. Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. Think that guy's feelings got hurt? You child of the devil. Now, I want to say something right here. Not everybody's a child of the devil. Everyone's a child of Adam, not the children of God. Well, we're all children of God. No, we're not. If you're not born again, you're not a child of God. You're a child of Adam. But those children of Adam can become a child of the devil by possession. Demon possession. Amen. You child of the devil. Man, he was right to the point. You enemy of all righteousness. Will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now here comes the prophet ministry. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you. And you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell from him a mist of darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead by the hand. But Paul was doing that in love. He didn't say you're going to hell. There's always hope for people. If they're alive, if their heart is beating, there's hope for them. But only one hope, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Praise God. You think he had discerning the spirits working there? Think he had the gift of discernment working there? As I'm closing here this morning, I'm wondering sometimes what spirits behind people that are greedy and love money more than God? The scripture says you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. What spirit is behind a person that is greedy? Could you tell me? Selfish. What spirit is that? And I'm not saying we're not supposed to have control about this area and do what's right. But to love money more than God is sin. Truthfully, everybody, the Lord doesn't care how much money you give, although it's important, but he takes a look at what you have left. You say, well, we've got to save up for a rainy day. Yep. and you'll get one. Now, if you're being wise and saving up because it's the thing to do, fine. But if you're hoarding it for yourself, there's a story in the Bible. This guy had good crop. He put it in his barn. And he said, wow, I'm going to tear down my barn, and I'm going to build bigger barns to bestow all my goods. And he did. But then that night, the Lord said, you fool, your soul's required of you this night. Then whose will all those things be? Dear God. Let's stand up, everybody. I want to get everybody this year to reject that spirit of greed and selfishness. To become more like Christ is to become selfless. It isn't about us, it's about Him. It's everyone that comes to this church, do you know you represent Jesus out there to them people? You also represent this congregation. Amen. Keep that in mind. How many do that? Keep it in mind that you're a child of God today. Resist wrong spirits that try to get you to submit to their control. Amen. And yield to the Spirit of God that wants to use you this year. Just do that. Can you discern that much, please? Amen. Now, next time your wife hollers at you, well, you know, what spirit is that? So, well, there's only three. I don't think God would do that so much. So it's boiling down to demons or the human spirit. Reminds me of that VA doctor. He said his wife levitated off the bed. I said, man, you got you a devil right there. He said, yeah, I know. She lived with him when he was an alcoholic, but when he became born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, she divorced him. And I said, that's acceptable with God. There was a time I wouldn't have said that, but that's right. The believer is not under bondage in such cases. What spirit is that? It's just the spirit of wisdom and revelation in Him. Praise God. So I want the best for you this year, everybody. Cheer up. God's good to us. We're doing better this year than last year, aren't we? Most of us. And if not, you will. So stay in the boat. Resist evil and yield to the Holy Spirit of grace. Can you do that much for me this year?
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis, pastor and overseer of Zion Word Ministries International. For more information regarding our ministry and mission, please visit us online at zwmi.com. Once again, that's zwmi.com. Or visit us on Facebook at Zion Word Ministries International. My faith will be made strong.